Coming to you live from a room in a house, Bobby and Danny's Vowel Movements with Bobby and Danny. Hosted by Bobby and Danny. And now, here's Bobby and Danny.
Hello, and welcome to episode 24 of the Vowel Movements podcast. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Danny.
And we are brought to you, as always, by TedAngel.com.
TedAngel.com, who is going to have a fantastic weekend.
Yes, he is. Bachelor party weekend.
Oh, boy.
It starts Friday, right after work.
I was the first person to pass out at my bachelor party.
Yeah, I think you were at least one of the first.
No, I believe I was the first because there is a picture of me passed out with everyone at my bachelor party around me with an inflatable woman.
See, and I was right next to you, and then you said, "You, Bobby, you didn't have my back." And see, I thought I was just being a part of your bachelor party. I'm like, yeah, this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to get hammered and be the first one to pass out.
Did anyone pass out at your bachelor party?
Well, I think we must have passed out basically every night, but, you know, I have never drank so much. That's the most I've ever drank.
Oh, gosh.
That weekend was insane how much the four of us drank.
Four guys, cases and cases of beer.
And, you know, not to mention that we'd start off with your, and I don't know if they're world famous. In my world,
thank you, they are famous
Bloody Marys.
Thank you very much.
So we'd start off with those, and then around 11 o'clock, we'd all slowly start cracking beers open.
We would each have about two Bloody Marys, and to be quite honest, there's two shots of vodka in each Bloody Mary. So you had four shots of vodka before noon. And then around 11 o'clock, it's like, okay, it's okay to have a beer
now. Yeah, and you were always kind of looking for, you know, who's going to crack the first one? And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember specifically, like, you know, maybe, because I think we went up on a Thursday, and so mm-hmm. then there was all day Friday, all day Saturday, and we came home Sunday.
Yeah.
And I remember it was either Friday or Saturday. I'm like, probably Friday. I'm like, I want these guys to know what this weekend's about. And so I was the first one to open one because I wanted people to follow suit. And
now,
everyone
I tried,
did.
For my bachelor party, I tried to pull a Paul Newman, but it didn't succeed. Now,
like Paul Newman with the eggs?
Paul Newman with the eggs, not Cool Hand Luke.
Uh-huh.
Paul Newman. Slapshot Paul Newman. Because the story goes that during the filming of Slapshot, Paul Newman would wake up and have one beer every hour.
Yikes.
Every hour.
Well, a beer an hour is a buzz.
Yeah. And so, but apparently, because the guys from the Hanson brothers, the guys who played the Hanson mm-hmm. brothers, were telling this story during the screening of Slapshot 2, which is a horrible movie.
That is a horrible
movie. But they were telling this story about how Paul Newman invited them over to a group from the cast over to his house. He answered the door and he had a beer in his hand. And it was like 9 a.m. And he's like, oh, yeah, this is my second one. You know, I woke up at 7. And he said, yeah, I have a beer every hour when I'm in the party spirit. And then so they kind of started doing that. And they realized you get this weird drunk where you're still in complete control.
Sure.
But you're hammered. I tried doing that at my bachelor party.
Yeah, except I don't think you were going one beer an hour, Dan.
Nah, I was.
Yeah. You just tried to drink for several hours straight.
And then there was. Then when it gets to the point where you're like, "Hey, let's do a shot. What should we have? Tequila and whiskey." That's what we. So we did shots of tequila and whiskey, and then played beer pong. And not only were we drinking the beer on the beer pong table, but we also had glasses of whiskey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know.
So that was my demise. But I'm going to really try for the TedAngel.com bachelor party weekend. I'm really going to try my best to do a Paul Newman. The moment we get to our destination, cracking open a beer, 1 an hour.
Oh, all right. I don't know if I'll be able to follow suit with you, but I'll.
It's going to be tough, especially when you're in the group of guys that are scheduled for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, I mean, just hilarious guys. Really, they can be some of the funniest guys in the world that I know, and so it's going to be really hard to contain myself to one beer.
You're not going to be able to do one beer.
No, I'm not.
So I've really backed off of the drinking.
Yes.
You know, I think the last episode I was going to quit drinking. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Although I quit drinking during the week, except, you know, tonight at Vowel Movements, I'm having, Dan and I are enjoying hams in a can.
Hams in a can, just like taking a sip off the old man's beer.
But I'm going to have one.
Okay.
And then this weekend, I'm going to drink.
It'll be your splurge weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's treat day.
Yeah, it is. It's treat day. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday
is there treat day.
I'm really looking forward to
it. I'm looking forward to it, too.
It's going to be a blast.
You know, the funny thing about my bachelor party is, you know, we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone out there that doesn't know, Dan and our friends Ted and Corey took me up to a cabin in Tahoe with a bunch of guitars and drums and recording gear, and we actually recorded a record that weekend.
Yeah.
Not knowing what we were going to do. We just
played it by ear.
No practice. We'd go through Corey's iPod and then hear a song and say, hey, let's do that.
Let's try this.
And then we learn it, and then we recorded it, and then we actually gave those away at Paloma and
awesome.
My wedding.
I mean, it's still one of my favorite stories as a wedding favor. I mean, just the story is like, well, yeah, we, and then when you tell people before they listen, well, you know, for Bobby's bachelor party, we just went up into a cabin for a weekend, drank copious amounts of beer, and decided to play music. And people were expecting to hear a train wreck, and it actually sounds good.
It's all right.
We're not bad.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, when we got home, we didn't labor over mixing it. I mean, Ted, I just left it in his hands and he did a mix. He's like, what do you think? And yeah, I think maybe the first time something was too loud. I don't know.
Yeah.
The bass drum's too loud. But other than that, it was
pretty
much
no a retracking.
Go.
There's a few screw ups in there.
Oh, yeah.
I know I missed a few beats on drums. I know I hit a few wrong notes on guitar.
Yeah, it was about.
But it's organic. It captures that moment. That was still such a great weekend.
So, yeah, that really was. And anyway, my whole point about even talking about that is we weren't just sitting around getting hammered. We were sitting around getting hammered and actually trying to get something done.
Yeah. There was something. We did go out one night.
We went out,
and that was the most I've ever made gambling. Because usually whenever I go into a casino, we were in South Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then so one night we decided to go out to the casinos. And usually when I go, I just sit behind the slot machines.
Sure.
I sit behind the slot machines. Ted from TedAngel.com. He's gotten like 5 plugs already, and we're only 7.5 minutes into the show.
That's all right. We still haven't paid him for anything that he's done for us. So,
he's a much more adventurous gambler. So he kind of gave me a crash course on roulette.
Okay.
So I sat at a roulette table, and I had, at the time, several drinks into the evening, I understood everything he was talking about. If you ask me how to play roulette now, I cannot remember. But at the time Ted explained it to me, I'm like, okay, I got it. I think I ended up making like $60.
Yeah, the thing is,
and I quit.
You can
right
hit
there.
You can hit big on roulette. And I guess maybe we've never talked about this.
Yeah.
At your bachelor party, after you were passed out, so our friend Brian and our friend Ted at TedAngel.com and your brother Ruben and I, the four of us were playing poker.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting pretty late. I think at that point, maybe Jesse had passed out.
Yeah.
And a few guys were starting to pass out. And the four of us are playing poker. And I was clean in house.
Yeah. And Ted's no slouch.
Ted's a very... And your He's brother.
A, yeah.
You know, your brother's the one that had the whole setup with the poker chips.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That's right. That's
so
right.
So they're good poker players. I think I pulled... We were talking about a friend of ours earlier that was, I don't know how to play this game. So she just bluffed her.
Yeah.
And I kind of bluffed my way in. Because to be honest, like, I did a couple of very stupid bets where the guys are like, why would you bet with that hand?
Yeah.
Like, that was dumb. Yeah. So when I had a good hand, they just thought I was an idiot again.
Yeah.
So anyway, I cleaned house, and then your brother, it was like maybe midnight, one or two in the morning or something. Your brother says, let's go to the casino. So a group of us got in his truck, and then another group got in another car, and we all went out to the casino. But my point is, I hit the biggest I've ever hit on roulette was at your bachelor party.
Wow. So. I knew that that Paul, the guitarist from the Secretions, and my friend James and Jesse also went out to the casino, but I had no idea that another group of guys went out to the casinos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was two carloads of us that actually
went
out.
You missed by being the first person to pass out at your own bachelor party. Damn. Well, it's probably a good thing because I probably would have gotten us in trouble if I were at a casino. Yeah,
but because the fact is, like, we kind of had the run of the place at that time of night. You know, I mean, there were people there, sure, but you know, it was pretty much us. So.
I love South Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, it's really great.
It's awesome. So
that's coming full circle. We're taking Ted on his bachelor party this weekend.
That's exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. And I like the fact that we're renting a van.
Renting a van?
Because you said earlier off air that you was like, well, you know, it could be, you know, with the money we're all chipping in for the van, it's like it could be cheaper just to drive yourself. But I'm also looking at the, not just the gas, but I'm the experience.
Sure.
Of 12 to 15 idiots in a van.
And not only that, I'm driving and I'm allowing for road sodas.
I'll be smart about it. I'll have my Slurpee cup.
All right.
I'll have a Slurpee cup. I won't be sitting there with a Pabst Blue Ribbon or a Schlitz.
Well, I think that the windows are going to be tinted because I saw one of the company that we're renting from. I saw one of their 15 passenger vans today and the windows were tinted. So hopefully windows are tinted and it can just be a free for all back there.
It's a shame that we're not sponsored by that company because I'd love to mention them because you're getting a deal.
We are getting a deal and it's like a major company. I'm pretty amazed. But
yeah, so almost half of what other companies are charging.
Well, yeah, when I got home, I'm like, man, that's just expensive. I can't believe how expensive that is. So I got online and I went to all the major, car rental agencies and they were all twice as much.
There's been two tours that we've done where we've actually rented a van and it gets pretty pricey. Yeah. And it can be up there. There's a company that's based in Los Angeles and San Francisco called, well, I'm not going to say the name of it because they're not sponsoring
us. But they do tour vans,
they
right?
They do tour vans. Yeah. You can rent a 15-passenger van or a Sprinter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Sprinter is the deal because it's all set up where it's got the back section, which is all for your gear, and it's all closed off and sealed, no windows to it. And then inside, it's nothing but bucket seats. And so everyone has their own seat that reclines all the way back, and there's enough space where you can lay down pretty much. There's speakers and video monitors all around and video game systems. So it's pretty much a party bus that you can fit all of your gear in.
Maybe that's what I should do with the Mr. T Experience van. You know, it's just sitting in a lot in San Leandro, California, costing $50 a month, rotten
away.
Tell you
what, we'll rent it. I'll rent it out from you guys.
Man, you know, that
next tour. Next tour, I'll
that thing only has like 40,000 miles on it.
Consider it rented for the next Secretions tour.
All right, well,
We'll talk.
I've talked to Frank for the past year about me going down and getting it. I just don't know how I'd get it home. So, cause I don't know if it's going to start. It's just been sitting there since.
Well, let me know. I'll drive you down there.
All right.
We'll do that. Book us for that first rental. So that's our weekend.
That's our weekend.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I am too. I went and saw ZZ Top last weekend.
I got a text message from your wife saying that she has, is it wrong to have an uncomfortable crush on ZZ Top? Now, which member did she find attractive?
I think the guys, both the front, Billy Gibbons and Dusty Hill, the guys with the beards, I think. Not the drummer with the
mullet. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Okay.
They're legends.
Let me tell you Let me tell you what was wrong with that.
Okay.
So, you know, Paloma and I have wanted to see ZZ Top for a couple of years. And in fact, 2 years ago, we had tickets to go see ZZ Top and Joan Jett.
Yeah.
And then I got a tour with 7 Seconds in Europe.
ZZ Top and Joan Jett together, same show?
Uh-huh, together, same show.
Wow. Where was this going to be?
I think it was in Napa.
Wow.
Yeah, it was some like a smaller show, like a winery show, so probably a couple thousand people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't go. Paloma was going to go with her cousin, and then the day of the show, they ended up just hanging out at the house and not going. So,
okay.
So neither of us, have seen. I saw ZZ Top in 1984 on the Eliminator Tour. But, I haven't seen them.
What a tour to see them. That was their... yeah. I mean, they were already a big band, but, Eliminator was like, they broke through the pop charts.
Yeah,
they were
all over MTV.
Yeah.
So, the past few years, I've really gotten into ZZ Top. And Jazz Brown and I, that was one of our mutual loves.
Okay.
ZZ Top. So, I knew ZZ Top was coming to the Thunder Valley Casino, but there's just so much stuff going on. Paloma and I went out of town a couple weekends ago, bachelor party. My niece is getting married in 2 weeks.
September 1st.
September 1st when Chicks Dig It will be in. So, and then Ted and Courtney's wedding, and we just don't have a lot of disposable income.
Yeah.
And the tickets were expensive. The cheapest seat up in the bleachers was $40.
Wow.
Yeah. So...
Wow.
The day of the show, I sent my friend who works for the local radio conglomerate that I've talked about before.
Okay.
I just sent him a text message and said, hey, I know it's extremely last minute, but are there any ZZ Top tickets floating around? And he said, I'll leave two of them at the station for you.
What a friend.
What a friend. And not only that, when we picked them up, there were four tickets to Monday Night Raw in the pack, in the envelope as well.
What a friend.
Yeah. So, you know, I've never talked to him about it. I don't know if I should out him, you know, so that's why he's remains a mystery. But yeah, very thankful. So he...
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So Paloma and I got two free tickets. Mm-hmm. We're like, great. So we get there and, you know, we had a couple of beers. So that's, you know, we're still spending a little money. We wait. ZZ Top comes on.
Any opening band?
No opening band.
Okay. Which means they're going to play an extended set. They're not going to come out and do 45 minutes in Jet.
Except they played 45 minutes in Jet.
Damn.
It was crazy. Like, we were sitting there, and I'm like, our friend Corey sent me a text message and said, Velcro Fly. And then it got done. I'm like, they didn't play Velcro Fly. They didn't play Rough Boy. They didn't play...
I have the 45 to Rough Boy. I love that song.
I love that song, too. They didn't play Cheap Sunglasses. They didn't play TV Dinners. They didn't play Pearl Necklace. They didn't play so many hits. And, like, they played some of their newer stuff, which is great, but it's great if you're going to play for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And so, like, it gets done, and I'm just like, man.
Were they promoting a new album?
Yeah, they have a new album coming out. But it was sold out. I think Thunder Valley must hold about 7,000 people. The cheapest seat, we were in the, you know, we sat at the back of the bleachers, and it's still a good seat.
$40, yeah.
But that was a $40 seat.
So now, granted, much would you assume the front row was for
I think
show?
I think the front row was like either $90 or $120. I know that there were $90 seats. Damn. I'm not sure if there was $120 seats, but let's just say $90 seats for down on the floor.
Okay.
And the place was sold out, and they played for, I'll give them the benefit, they played for an hour.
But still, a band like ZZ Top?
A band like ZZ Top and... Like, I did, that was just off the top of my head, the hits that they didn't do.
Cheap Sunglasses, I mean, I remember growing up hearing that on classic rock radio. And,
I don't know how you cannot do Cheap Sunglasses.
Yeah.
You know, how can you not do... Okay.
One of the earliest ZZ Top songs I remember hearing on KZAP.
Yeah. But, you know, you would think that any song they had a video for, they'd be playing. And
they did,
like, no TV Dinners, no... But Rough Boy, I can't believe they didn't do Rough Boy.
That was a huge hit for them.
Yeah,
it was a huge hit.
So I, you know, there was some rumblings. Like I heard like a couple in front of us say, well, they are 70 years old now. And so Plum and I are just sitting in the bleachers because we're going to let it clear out before we head over. We're going to go over to the casino and get dinner. So we're sitting there and this older couple, two older couples walk by. And when I say older, they're probably late 50s, early 60s. Okay. And we're just sitting there and a guy walks by and he looks at me and he said, was that short? And then I just went off and I said, man, they didn't do this. They didn't do that. And he's like, we thought so. This is, and they were just bummed because you could tell they bought their tickets. They spent their $40 to go see. So that's just a bummer. Like really that's how you want to, you know, that's your legacy you're messing with. And I don't know if they thought, oh, we're just playing at a casino. Like,
well, and then, you know, the people who say, well, they are 70. Well, you know what? Then you have an intermission.
Well,
you play
that,
an hour. It's like, hey, we're going to be back in 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And the casinos would love that because what are you going to do during that 15-minute intermission?
Yeah, you're going to go drink and gamble.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to spend some money. And, you know, Lemmy's in his 70s.
Yeah.
And that guy doesn't play an hour-long set.
So
he missed the hit. He still plays Ace of Spades every show. He's tired of playing it, but he says he will always play it because that's what fans expect.
Of course.
They want to hear that song.
So, and when you're a band like that, I mean, you got to play the hits. What the hell? So, okay, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We're going to, speaking of Lemmy.
Yes.
I was on my Facebook page earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some people have gotten a hold of us via Facebook, so we'll be addressing that when we get back. But also on Facebook, did you see the picture that Esprit Stefan posted to my wall tonight?
I have not, but I will be taking a look on this very break that we are going to take in about 40 seconds.
Speaking of Lemmy. All right. So everyone go to Bobby Jordan's Facebook page and go check that out.
All right.
It's very apropos to us talking about Lemmy.
All right. We'll do it.
Hey, Dan, did you hear?
What?
Ted Angel's getting married.
Oh, that's not good.
Hey.
No. It's a very, very pricey undertaking.
Oh, I can attest to that.
Ted's going to need some money.
Here's what everyone can do.
Go to TedAngel.com.
And hire Ted to do your website.
Do your graphic design.
Make a CD cover for you.
Absolutely. He's the best in the business, and he really needs the money right now.
Please go visit TedAngel.com. I'm a rough boy, Dan.
I'm your rough boy.
All right, we're back on the Vowel Movements podcast.
All right.
Before we left, we talked about Lemmy, and I hope everyone went to Bobby Jordan's page. Maybe we'll, you know what? We should post that on the Vowel Movements page.
We should. We
should. I know that I'm only friends with about half of the Vowel Movements
audience.
Well, actually, half of the Vowel Movements audience. The thing is, we have 260 something likes on our Facebook page, and we get like about 500 listens an episode. So there's a whole, you know, there's a whole other half of some faraway land that is listening to us. So.
Well, you know how you always do the graphic image for each show. We had Marilyn Monroe blowing out the candles. We had the Destroyer holding up his championship belt. Maybe we can get some sort of graphic with a glamour shot Lemmy.
I think that's a good idea. You know what? Maybe I should make a
little
note of that here.
Pretty disturbing, to say the least. Would you like me to read some of the questions we have on our Facebook
page? I would, while I make a note here about the Lemmy glamour shot.
All right. So, really good ones. Five questions. You posted something a couple hours ago, and already five great questions.
Yeah, we're really good about reaching out to our audience when, you know, what people don't understand is that when Dan and I decide to do a show, it's like the day of the show.
Yeah.
Hey, can you do a show? Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's do it. So
yeah. There you go.
It's very seat of the pants, but we don't have an announcement yet, but very soon, maybe, we haven't even talked. We've talked about wanting to do it, but Dan and I are going to go to weekly, at least for a month. We're going to see how it works out. So for 4 or 5 weeks straight, we're going to go
episodes.
Weekly.
Bam.
And we're going to see
possibly five, depending on the month.
That's right. But we're going to see if people listen to it.
Because
the fact is, I know, you know, we did our bonus episodes and the listenership on those were just kind of down. And we worked hard on those. So, you know, if we, we're going to do it, though. We're going to stick to 4 or 5 weeks. Then we're going to reassess and see where we're at.
I think we're going to do fantastic.
All right.
All right. Loyal listener Jason says, what are some of the more outlandish albums you own? These would be part guilty pleasure, part I used to be embarrassed about owning this type of entries. Great question.
That is a great question. You know, I was the first two Megadeth records are two of my favorite records. And after his, the singer, Dave Mustaine, he's been spouting off his Christian right rhetoric lately.
Wow.
And that's, I'm embarrassed about owning those records now.
Yeah, that's
I don't know why metal guys can't stay evil. I don't get it. So,
I don't know. I was tempted to getting Dave Mustaine's coffee once, but he stopped
coffee?
He used to make coffee. He used to have his own special blend of coffee. Then he stopped doing it, but
so,
for whatever.
I was a huge, huge Megadeth fan in high school.
Yeah.
And I was sleeping on the couch like I did every Friday and Saturday night watching Headbangers Ball.
Yeah.
And I woke up and they had this, you know, MTV News thing, and it was Megadeth and Larry Bud Melman talking about the Megadeth Swatch. That was the one and only time I've ever seen it. I've searched for it online. Apparently, I dreamt about it. I swear, though. Hmm. I swear it was real. But Larry Bud Melman talking about their Swatch.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's out there somewhere.
Well, God, but you'd think.
Just keep
it
on eBay.
So anyway, to get back to Jason's question.
I would say mine aren't albums. They're more cassettes.
Okay.
Cassettes. Let's see. I have two different Smash Mouth cassettes that I listened to nonstop. There was Elastica.
That's a good record.
Yeah.
She lives in Sacramento.
Does she?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I had that.
Or San Francisco. I don't know. She lives in Northern California. The singer.
There was the soundtrack to The Craft. And I got that because it had Love Spit Love's version of How Soon Is Now.
Oh, okay.
And and Richard Butler is one of my favorite singers, you know, from Psychedelic Furs, Love Spit Love, one of my favorite singers. So that'd probably be some of my more outlandish albums. Nothing too crazy there.
I think outlandish, probably Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf. Just over the top, outlandish, yeah. I guess. I have a lot of crappy music, so I don't know. Hedwig and the Angry Inch soundtrack, that's kind
Marillion,
of
Script for a Jester's Tear.
You were an American and you bought a Marillion record?
I have Marillion, Script for a Jester's Tear. I think it's that's the most prog rock album
wow.
I own, yeah.
I remember I used to get Kerrang! Magazine because I was into metal and they always have the metal, but they'd always talk about Marillion and I'm like, who listens to this band?
Yeah.
I guess it was Dan.
All right, so I know what song we're having on our next break. Marillion's Script for a Jester's Tear.
I don't own it. It's not going in. Sorry.
Lindsay asks, your go-to romantic gestures and tips for my boyfriend's 21st birthday. So, two-part. You have a go-to romantic gesture?
I don't. I'm not the most romantic guy. I just try to be sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what my most romantic gesture is. It's I make my wife laugh. My wife is way out of my league. She's, you know, just beautiful and, you know.
We both married up.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what she's doing with me. The only thing I can think is that I make her laugh. So I just continue to make her laugh.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, you got to understand, Lindsay, we're in a much different phase. So it's not like we're trying to woo necessarily or trying to win. I think I'm at the point right now where it's like making sure to have date nights with my, that's my go-to romantic. It's like, let's plan a date night. Like, honestly, you want to know my romantic gesture?
Okay.
Writing date night on our dry erase calendar in the kitchen. Huge. The first time I wrote date night on our dry erase calendar, my wife was so excited. She was like, oh my gosh, I got a text, but I love seeing that. And so that's my romantic gesture,
right?
Date night on our dry erase calendar. Now, Lindsay, you're much younger. I don't think that's going to really do the trick for you and your boyfriend, but.
Yeah. The other night, Paloma got in the shower. We were rushing to go somewhere. I don't even remember where. And I brought her up a drink. She likes vodka tonics and she was in the shower and I opened up the shower, you know, door and gave her a vodka tonic and she said that was very romantic. So.
Tips for her boyfriend's 21st birthday. She's not 21 yet. I believe Lindsay is either 19 or 20 and her boyfriend's turning 21.
Well,
so that's a tough one.
That's a tough one
because, you know, you can't go out to a bar together. I would say just, you know, take him out to dinner.
Yeah.
Take him out to dinner and a show. You would appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep the talking to a minimum.
Yeah.
That's what guys like.
Yeah.
Less talk.
Yeah. Ted Angel from TedAngel.com. One word. Baseball.
Yeah. The Oakland A's. They are kicking some baseball butt.
A League of Their Own. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Isn't that softball? Just kidding. Man, I just had two sexist zingers like back to back.
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
That whole romantic, that romantic gesture just got you in the mood for that.
Yikes.
Heath asks, Danny's trip to San Diego, which led to a prank call to Heath in Bakersfield. Like talking about yourself, don't you, Heath?
In pro wrestling terms, we call that a mark for yourself.
Yeah, trying to put yourself over there, Heath, huh? Well, San Diego is beautiful. That's all I'll say. Rick, Sean Hills may not like the wrestling questions, but favorite WrestleMania and why?
Wow. Mine's WrestleMania easy. 3. Mine's
22.
Three. Oh, because we went. Yeah,
because
of course.
We were there because you took me to WrestleMania 22. The drive, still the funniest story of a speeding ticket I've ever had in my life. We're driving down there, Bobby and I. We have a great weekend planned, WrestleMania and Motorhead.
Yep.
And the same weekend, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest weekend of my life. And we're driving. We got on the road fairly early and, you know, sun's shining. We got our snacks. The music's playing. I believe we had a rental car. So it's got that clean rental car smell and we're just laughing, telling stories. You know, we're still in the honeymoon phase of the road trip, laughing when it's a new car. So you don't really realize how fast
you're
going.
We're
going downhill and you were going about how fast?
At least 90
at a 66
maybe 55 or 65.
Yeah, and we go speeding past a highway patrol officer right after one of us says something hilarious.
So we're both laughing.
We're both laughing. Bobby turns to his side to see the police officer. Bobby's laughing his head off. I'm laughing. So this police officer sees these two laughing yokels just dart past him, pulls us over.
And I said, I'm sorry, sir. I meant no disrespect by laughing when I passed you like you were standing still.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no offense taken. I just wanted you to just, all you had to do was just stop before you got to me. That's all you had to do. But he's like, I have to give you a ticket. And luckily he wrote it for like 75 or something.
Yeah.
Because I was going well over 90.
But still, so. My favorite WrestleMania, because it was a great WrestleMania. The Shawn Michaels Kurt Angle match was outstanding.
Yep.
And possibly had one of the worst spectacles of Big Show versus Aki Bono.
Yes, and their sumo outfits.
That was bad. And then we're on the WrestleMania. Vowel Movements makes an appearance on the WrestleMania 22.
Hey, man, that's a selling point. As seen at WrestleMania 22,
damn
Vowel
straight,
Movements.
Damn all straight. Right. What is one album by a band that you guys love that you felt disappointed by?
Ooh, man, there's a lot.
Yeah. Just pick one. It doesn't have to be the most disappointment from a band.
Boy.
I guess an easy one would be Sandinista by The Clash.
Yeah, you know that's my favorite Clash record.
Is it?
Well, here's the deal. It's not, I mean, actually, Linden Calling is my favorite Clash record, and then the first Clash record.
Yeah.
But I don't listen to The Clash anymore.
Okay.
Except Sandinista. That's the only record I go to, and I think it's because it's the only one that I didn't wear into the ground.
Mm.
So that's actually my go-to Clash record. It has been for a couple years now.
Maybe a Hot Space by Queen.
That's not what era is that? Is that like towards the end?
Yeah, it's getting there.
Like 82, maybe.
Yeah, that's
like
getting
that.
There. Yeah. It's getting there. A couple albums after I think it was not the album after the game, but the one after that. Hmm. So Innuendo was much better, but Hot Space pretty god awful.
Kiss Dynasty when I was a kid. That was just a travesty.
With it coming up shortly, favorite Halloween memory as a kid or adult?
Well, I think we've talked about it on here before. I've only been two things for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I had only been two things for Halloween up until the time I was like 26, and that was either Ace Frehley from Kiss or a woman my entire life.
Yeah.
And that only changed when I started playing the Old Ironside's Dead Rockstars gig.
Yeah.
And so then I was a different rock star every Halloween for a few years. So, and then the last
few
years.
So what was your favorite Dead Rockstars? How about we change the question a bit?
I think when we did James Brown, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I did The Doors once. I did, when we did the Ramones. I would have to say
it's a toss up between when we did the Ramones because we did it so well.
We
did it to a T, and then it's a toss up between that and when we did Roy Orbison.
Because Roy Orbison one was awesome.
Yeah, because people weren't expecting what they got. When they heard, the Knockoffs are doing Roy Orbison, they were thinking we were going to punk out a bunch of Roy Orbison songs when actually we did them as close as we could to the actual, we played very clean and, just did it as close, obviously not hitting the vocal range, but we did it as close as we could to the original. And I think that blew people away.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
I remember people were just talking about that we didn't get up there and just play.
Yeah. It's kind
of
like
punk versions of Roy Orbison songs. Yeah. We did them as straight up as our musical talent allowed.
Like Prince Sign of the Times. Everyone's expecting his final song to be a rocker. Hits him with a ballad.
That's right.
Blows him away. That's what we did. We pulled a Prince.
All right. So, I wanted to cut that. Yeah. So anyway, you just got off tour.
I just came back from a West Coast tour with the Secretions.
Well, hold that thought. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that.
Okay. We will.
Just run and scare. Each place we go. So afraid that he might show. Yeah, run and scare. What would I do if he came back and warned?
So let me get this straight. All I have to do is go to valmovements.net.
That's correct.
And I click the button that says support.
That's correct.
And it takes me to a page where all I have to do is click on something, and it's going to take me directly to Amazon.
That's also correct.
Well, then what happens from there?
Click on that link, and it takes you to Amazon.com, and it's business as usual. You're on Amazon, buying stuff left and right, but Val Movements is getting some credit for it.
But does it cost any more?
Not a penny more.
Do it. It's the right thing to do.
And we're back.
We are back.
Okay, so before we left you, we talked about you just went on tour. You just got home.
Just got home from about a two-week tour, two-and-a-half-week tour.
Kind of a West Coast tour,
all
right?
West Coast. Started in Sacramento, went all the way up north, shooting for Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
That show fell through, but we were able to pick up a show in its place.
And all right.
Come back all the way back down into California and go all the way down as far south as San Diego and then work our way back up.
Awesome. Home. And you guys, the second half of the tour, you went out with the Community?
We went out with a band called The Community.
Their first tour, right?
Their very first tour.
How'd they do?
They did outstanding.
Awesome.
They were super professional. They were always early to the show. They didn't need their hands held. I was a little worried at first because when I asked them, I kind of knew them. I really didn't know these guys that well, but I'm like, I asked these guys to go on tour and I really don't know them. This could be bad. And then I found out it's their first tour. I'm like, oh my gosh. And the last thing I need is to hold a band's hand on tour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not my job to tell you, you know, knock it off, or not my job to tell you stop being a baby,
yes,
or, you know, stop drinking so much before the show. But they were one of the easiest bands to get along with on
awesome.
Tour. They were fun. They always hung out with us. They were just had the best spirits. You know, they played the best shows on our tour, and they also played the worst show on our tour. And they just kept their game face on the
awesome.
Entire time. So, but and then
just meaning that the show itself was just like
horribly
a bad...
run,
oh,
horribly
okay.
run. Not even run. We had to put the PA together when we got there.
The
local bands were all out in the parking lot while we were playing, and it just ended in an ugly scene. And it basically comes down to the fact that the person who was running the show really wasn't running anything.
Yeah.
And they just saw the worst, the most poorly run show possibly
I've
ever played.
And they still soldiered.
And they were just like, hey, we're going to just move on. Next show. We're
awesome.
Moving on to the next city. And that won me over right away. I'm like, okay, these guys are troopers. They can do it. Their lead singer, you know, they play maybe one or two shows a month, two
mm-hmm.
at the most, but definitely one show a month. So their lead singer's not used to doing show after show. And a couple of our shows were double shots.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go to San Diego. We play an early matinee show. Then we drive across town. We play the bar show at night. Next day, we drive to Los Angeles, play an early matinee show. Then we drive to Fullerton, play a nighttime show.
Okay.
So he's doing like five or six shows in a couple of days, and his voice was just completely shot. I mean, he sounded like an old Jewish grandmother who smoked a carton of cigarettes a day. And I would think, okay, you know, you can phone this in. There's not a lot of people here. You got to save your voice because their big homecoming show
mm-hmm.
was for the Punch and Pie Fest that Sean Hills was putting on. And just go ahead and save your voice. Phone it in. You know, you'll be okay. There's not a lot of people here. Just take it easy. No. First note of first song, he's jumping around, swinging his arms. And if you've ever seen The Community live, their lead singer, Neil, is the nicest, sweetest guy. And at first, when you're watching him dance around, you're like, okay, this guy looks kind of goofy. But then it wins you over. Like, wow, he is really into the song.
That's
like
awesome.
He's kind of in his own silly way, playing air guitar to the songs while, you know. And it's not like he's trying to be cool air guitar. It's like this kid is hearing rock and roll for the first time, kind of air guitar type of thing. And it's this silly fun dance, but then you once you realize he's just really getting into the music. He's not trying to look cool.
That's awesome.
It's like he is just way into the music. And he just gave it 110% every night. And all the guys in the band were fantastic. Andy, their drummer, I found out he's a huge fan of podcasts. And so I told him, hey, check out these guys I know. Vowel Movements. Check them out. Give them a listen. So he started, you know, hopefully he's listening.
All right.
Hopefully he's listening tonight. But no, they're a great band. And then, but the first half of the tour, we went alone.
So yeah, well, speaking of podcast, our brothers in pod.
Yeah, I got to meet Terry from Tagcast Podcast in Eugene.
My friend from who I've known since 1974.
Sweetheart of a guy, absolute sweetheart. We played a few house parties, and this was a house that was mainly a venue.
Okay.
And you know, people live there, but the main reason that house was there was to have shows, and it was more of a,
because that was supposed to be a show at a club, right? Wandering Goat.
Originally supposed to be at Wandering Goat, and then Wandering Goat found out that these bands are loud, so they just said, okay, you can't do it here. They're like, all right. And they were actually a couple blocks away from the Wandering Goat. The next day we went to the Wandering Goat, and it's a very small coffee shop.
Gotcha,
we would have blown this place apart with our bands, with the bands that played there. But it was a fun house show. We weren't necessarily the flavor that...
Yeah, you said it was primarily a kind of a loud metal
grindcore
type.
We slept at the house, so I went to sleep in the living room, and fans of death metal like their music loud all the way up until 4 a.m.
Ooh.
And then they like starting it again at 7 a.m. There's that 3-hour period where they don't have music playing. So I just threw my earbuds in and started listening to classical music and went to sleep. I was listening to Art Bell.
Listened
to Art Bell. And so I went to sleep not too far away from the house speaker that was blaring Cookie Monster music.
Yeah.
And I wake up to it. I'm like, all right, time to get up. It was the first time on tour that I took a baby wipe bath.
Okay.
I always take slippers with me on tour. Sometimes when we stay in houses, you know, the bathtub could look a little sketch. So I wear my slippers on. This bathtub definitely looks sketch.
Okay.
There was a lot of graffiti on the bathroom. And one of the items that was written on the bathroom wall basically said, defecate in the tub. When I saw that, I'll clue you in on something. It didn't use the word defecate, but in big letters it said defecate in the tub.
Wow.
And as soon as I saw that, I said, there's no way in hell that I'm going to take a shower in that bathtub.
Yep.
So I just decided, I always got my pack of wet wipes, and I figured I came down with a formula. It takes 8 wet wipes.
All right.
8 good-sized wet wipes to go from head to toe. Special attention to various areas. Uh-huh. You know, you need more than one in certain areas. And it was the cleanest I felt all tour.
Wow.
Yeah, defecate in the tub.
So I went out on a date with this girl, and we went back to my place.
Yeah.
And it was a small little duplex, a little one-bedroom duplex that I lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And over off of Stockton Boulevard by the Med Center for the Sacramentans in the area or in the listening audience. And so I'm just showing her the place. And when you opened up the bathroom door, it hid the toilet because the toilet was kind of behind how the door opened.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a funny guy. So I opened the door and I said, she's like, oh, you know, I'm just showing her. She's like, oh, this place is so cute. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I like how you decorate, you know, whatever. And I open it up and she's like, oh, this cute bathroom. I'm like, yeah, but there's no toilet. I have to poop in the bathtub. And that's what happened. There was just silence. And I said, I'm just kidding. The toilet's around there. Needless to say, we didn't go out again.
Because that's always an inside joke with you about pooping in the tub. And you just push it down with your feet.
With your heel.
Yeah, just push it down with your heel.
Because my heel's kind of callous, so it's not going to... so anyway, sorry.
One of my favorite points of the tour, I'd been keeping in touch with my friend Jordan Wolf, formerly of Final Summation, now in Urban Wolves. And they had an entire week of their shows fall through.
Oh, ouch.
An entire week. And
just like One after another, or yeah, like
just
did
one
they...
after another, okay. They just started. The venue was canceling the shows, And we had a couple of shows cancel on us, but we were able to find another show in its place. And so I said, well, hey, you know, we're going to be in Longview on this date. I'm looking at your routing. Why don't you meet us in Longview? When we get to the venue, I'll talk to the promoter. Worst case scenario, you guys play a 15-minute set on our gear. Turns out one of the locals dropped off the show. They had enough room. Urban Wolves got to play.
Very cool.
Jordan is very responsible on tour. I am very responsible on tour. The two of us together is a bad idea. We bring out the naughty boy in each other. Now, nothing that... let me clear this up. I always make sure that, like, no matter what I do on tour, that if my wife were standing there, I'd get, like, an eye roll and her shaking her head and just like... Oh, gosh, I can't believe I married that guy.
Sure.
I'm never going to do anything to disrespect the sanctity of our marriage.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to fool around on my
wife
of course
on
tour. I'm not going to do any of that. But, you know, running around like an idiot with a few drinks in my system and just being a total goof off.
Sure.
Yeah, so Jordan and I kind of bring that out of each other, and we decided it'd be a great idea to sleep outside. You know, under the Longview Washington stars.
I can dig that.
And then, it was pretty funny, and then... the next day, I wake up to our guitarist, Paul, standing over me about 10 a.m. with a beer in his hand. His eyes are pointing in two different directions. And he says, Dan, guess what I didn't do last night?
He didn't go to sleep.
I'm like, what? He's like, sleep.
Wow.
He was up for 48 hours, and he was just possessed and insane the entire time. So and then our next show, we had a show scheduled in Seattle the next day. That fell through. So after our show in Longview, we went to a bar. After a few drinks, I somehow managed the bar owner into letting us come back and play at that venue the next night.
All right.
Both of our bands for $50 worth of beer for each band.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you should let us play. You have a stage. You have a PA. We're in bands. You should let us play tomorrow. Oh, well, how much will it cost? I just kind of give him a stern look. I'm like, $50 beer for each band. Kind of molds her. He's like, okay, see you tomorrow. I'm like, sweet. So we played another show in Longview to pretty much to ourselves.
Oh, okay.
But we got $50 worth of
really?
Beer.
So he made good on
He made good on his promise. We had a $50. I think after a while, since we won over the bartender, so she let us go beyond our tab.
Oh.
You know, so you guys are having fun. You're cool people. So
cool.
Let us go. So that was probably one of my favorite two nights of the tour.
That's awesome.
North. And so every time was, we had two shows fall through, and they were able to, we were able to pick up another show in its place.
That's awesome.
And, we played Longview twice, and then Portland we got to play twice. We played a house party on a night that one of our shows fell. I believe our show in Salem fell through.
Okay.
So we got to play a house party, met this great band from Santa Rosa called M Section.
Okay.
Awesome guys. Absolutely hilarious guys. And so we're going to try and hook them up with the Sacramento show.
Very
just
cool.
To hang out with them again.
Now on the Tagcast podcast, they had talked about your shows because they talked about meeting you and then you were playing. And they talked about you going over and playing band, and they both have been in bands that have played band, and they're like, oh, it's like this jewel that nobody gets over there. And so how was your band show this time?
Interesting. The show itself was fantastic.
Okay.
No one goes to Bend because it's off the five.
Yeah.
So bands usually hit Medford, Eugene, Salem, and Portland. They usually hit those.
Mm-hmm.
They
of course.
Hit those cities, and they always ignore Bend because Bend is off the five. I mean, you really have to drive a couple hours off the five to get to Bend.
Yeah. But like I said on, I think, our last episode, that even though when you look at a map, Bend is Central Oregon.
Yeah.
Where I grew up, it was called Eastern Oregon.
Yeah.
Because it's, east of the valley, so it's called Eastern Oregon.
It's way out there. So when we get to Bend, it's the venue called the Domino Room.
Okay.
Huge warehouse of a venue. Has two venues in one venue. One of them's gigantic, like Dropkick Murphys played there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a roller rink.
Okay. Wow.
And they also have wrestling there. So when I pull up to the venue, I see all these posters for wrestling. I'm like, oh God, please let there be wrestling.
Yeah, no
tonight.
Kidding.
Now, it's a week later, but huge one. And then their small venue where we played is still a huge venue. We're talking like the size of maybe a little bigger than Slim's.
Wow, that's it's the huge. Small
there's
venue.
A, there's a bar upstairs and this huge area, and it's all ages. So we play there. There's two other bands. First band just looks like this very Pantera-esque metal band.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh man, this guy's not going to win me over. First thing the guy says when he comes out, he's like, you know, we want to dedicate our set tonight to all the families that were affected by the shootings in the Sikh temple. You know,
wow.
Those bands don't represent the hardcore metal that we represent. And so, you know, let's start this show off with a moment of silence.
You're kidding me.
And I'm sitting at the merch table. My jaw is on the floor. I'm like, I can't believe I judge these guys. I mean,
sure.
They've got a gigantic Neil Peart drum set,
uh-huh.
Full guitar stack, Ibanez 7-string mm-hmm. guitar, a 6-string bass. I mean, I'm like, everything that I can't stand about
sure.
metal is represented in this band. When he said that, my jaw just dropped. I'm like, oh my gosh. And you know, their music isn't my taste, but I gave them.
Of course.
I'm listening. Two songs into their set, they're like, we're going to dedicate this next song to Sally Ride, who passed away. She was a great inspiration, not just to women, but to Americans everywhere.
Wow.
I'm like, who the hell are these guys? I'm like, their music's okay, but I'm in love with their stage banter.
Sure.
I mean, they're so awesome. And then the next man after us, the guitarist probably just looked like Bret Michaels.
Okay.
On a, you know, just the same type of, you know, bandana, long curly hair, drummer, you know, nondescript drummer, and two exotic dancers, one playing guitar and one singing. And they played kind of like an L7 type of punk.
All right.
But they were super cool.
That's awesome.
And, you know, or as my wife said, oh, Dan, were they so nice? I'm like, no, wasn't anything. Now, granted, the guitarist did say, yeah, next time you guys come through, you guys got to come play my venue. It's a strip club. I'm like, we'll talk about that. But they just kept giving us props. They're like, you guys better not take off before the Secretions play. They came from out of town. You guys got to support them. And all the kids are just going crazy for these two bands. I mean, each band sounds completely different.
Mm-hmm.
We made sure to talk to each of the bands backstage, and I was telling the band Merc,
okay.
was the metal band. I'm just saying, dude, I can't believe the things you were saying up there. I just think that was the most awesome thing I've ever heard a metal band say at the beginning of their
sure.
set. You said that, and then we played our set, and the kids were just outstanding.
That's
Bend
awesome.
Was such a great time. The kids were way into us. They'd never heard us before. We sold a bunch of merch, and I just said, hey, when we come back, will you guys come see this? Like, yeah. So afterwards, we go to a bar with some friends of ours. And let me preface this by saying that wasn't the first venue we tried getting a show at. We tried getting a show at another venue that would not return our emails.
All right.
And we would just kept saying, hey, can we play? We want to come play. You don't have anything going. Wouldn't return our emails. So we get the show at the Domino Room. Turns out, best show we've ever had in Bend.
Uh-huh.
That was the third time we played in Bend. Favorite show in Bend. Quite possibly one of our favorite shows on the tour. We go to a bar with some friends of ours. And we have a long drive the next day. So I just have one drink and I'm going to go rest. I'm going to go sleep in the van, guys. You guys stay up as long as you want. I'll drive us back to the house we're staying at. I'm going to go right to bed as soon as we get to the house because we got to get up early.
Yep.
Got the first shift I'm driving. So I go into the van. They, Mickey, Paul, and our friends, they're hanging out, having some drinks. Mickey's in the bar. A very inebriated man comes up to Mickey, starts, you know, talking smack to one of our friends. Then he looks at Mickey, puts Mickey in a chokehold.
What?
Starts choking Mickey out. Mickey and Paul, I love those guys to death, but they're not really known as fighters.
Okay.
So Paul grabs the guy by the shoulder and is trying to pull him off of Mickey. I'm like, that's the strongest part
sure.
of this guy's butt. I'm like, no, there's things that you should do other
yes.
than grab
uh-huh.
the guy's shoulder. So security, like three or four security guys come and pull this guy off of him. They cart him off. They call the cops. He gets blah, blah, blah. And they come back saying, oh my God, Dan, you should have seen what you missed out. I'm like, I'm thankful I wasn't there. Not that I'm, you know.
Well,
I'm
at
not,
least you would have put the guy in a chokehold.
Yeah, I would have. I'm not Bruce Lee by any means, but it's like I can't sit there and see my bandmate, my friend,
of course,
getting choked out by some drunk guy. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to break something on him.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick something. I'm going to break something. I'm going to scratch something out. Not a clean fighter. I'm going to be a dirty fighter. I mean, he's going to miss it. He's going to have an ear missing.
You're professionally trained as a fighter.
I'm professionally trained. So he's going to have a missing ear and broken fingers and a groin that's kicked to death.
Sure.
So I'm glad I wasn't there. Because, you know, then, you know, how do I explain that to my wife? Honey, guess what happened
to me? I got in a fight,
I'm in jail. Yeah. Turns out that guy was the promoter / owner of the venue that wouldn't return our phone calls. So, there you go.
Good
That's
thing.
Bend in a nutshell.
to bring it all back to the beginning of our show.
Yeah.
Did Terry introduce you guys in Eugene? Coming to you live.
Live from a room in a house.
He did say that.
But yeah, we had him introduce us. And like I said, there was a handful of people. Most of the people were outside of the house. It was one of those shows which we're used to, where like no one wants to see the out of town band. They just want to see the bands they know.
Yeah.
But there were a few people in there. We kind of won them over a little, but we decided to play Ace of Spades for Terry, dedicated to him. It was like it's the closest thing we got to a metal song that we do, and I think he appreciated it.
He did.
He enjoyed it.
Yeah, he sent me a text message.
Just a salt of the earth kind of guy. I mean, I only got to hang out with him for a couple hours, but I can just tell he was a decent human being. It was nice to meet him, and I look forward to going up and, you know, next time we go through, just, you know, hanging out and seeing him again.
Yep,
you know, whether it's going out to get a bite to eat before a show, or if he has the time to actually come to the show.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in about 6 years. I think in 2006, him and his wife came down and spent the night with me. They were doing just kind of a drive, I think California, just going on a drive. But I'm going up there on September 1st, as you know, because I won't be around for the Chicks Dig It show.
Thanks for giving it a plug.
Man, God dang it. The first time I've ever missed Chicks Dig It in Sacramento.
That's
all right. I saw them their very first time here. I bought the cassette. I still have it.
Was that at Press Club?
No, it was at Old Ironsides.
They played Old Ironsides before
with
Press Club.
The Best Kissers in the World. Yeah, the Press Club show was their second show. And the thing that was great was KJ's banter. He kept talking about the X-Teens. And I'm like, he remembered the X-Teens because it was the X-Teens, Best Kissers in the World, and Chicks Dig It.
Nice.
That first time I saw him.
That wasn't Hallway Old Ironsides. Was that Hallway Old
Ironsides?
No,
that was Stage. That was Stage Ironsides. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, so, that's still...
Yeah, still awesome. A long time ago.
So, but you will get to see Terry.
I will. Well, hopefully. Yeah. You know, Paloma and I are just kind of bombing up there, going to the wedding. And then, you know, I talked to my brother. We're going to stay with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if he tries
to. In which city?
Lebanon.
Where's that at?
That is east of Albany.
Okay.
So it's kind of off I-5, like 20 miles off I-5.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Northern portion of Oregon?
Well, Albany is an hour north of Eugene, an hour south of Portland. So
okay.
Kind of central, really.
I was going to say, if you had a couple hours to kill and made your way up to Longview and you go to the venue we played at, Minus World, they've got a room full of vintage arcade games. And they have amazing vegetarian hamburgers there.
Wow.
But if you get the French fries, don't get them battered because it's battered in chicken fat.
Ugh.
But you can get unbattered fries.
Well,
and they're fine.
Thanks for the... but no, we're just bombing up. We're going to the wedding. I'm hoping I can go over and see Terry and then the family I grew up with down the street.
Nice.
I'm hoping to go over there and see, the mom and dad that still live there. I'm hoping to go see them. And then we're just going to turn around and bomb back. You know, hopefully my brother doesn't try to talk us into going to church on Sunday.
That could happen.
I'm sure that it will. The last time I was up there, it did, and I went. I don't even know if Paloma's ever been to church. So.
Fake the flu.
Sorry, buddy. I got to go. You know what I'll say is, I went to church with you about 6 years ago. I can't do that again. I'm just kidding. I love my brother. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He is he's a good person. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us on episode 24 of Owl Movement.
Yeah. And let's get 25, 26, 27, and 28. Just fire them off.
Yeah. And I think we're going to be ready to go at our new studio. So,
really?
Coming to you live from a room in a studio.
There you go.
I think that's all ready to go.
Okay.
We just, my laptop blew up. Mm-hmm. So I have to figure out what the computer situation is down there at the studio. But okay, so we'll see you soon. We'll keep you posted. Why don't you give us some feedback on Facebook and let us know, would you listen to us once a week? If we put out a show once a week,
could you handle it?
I don't even know if I'd listen once a week.
I would.
I'm just kidding. I listen to, you know, I make my rounds. There's a podcast I listen to every day. Mm-hmm. I listen to the Tagcast podcast twice a week.
Okay.
I listen to the Art of Wrestling podcast once a week.
Mr. Colt Cabana.
And then I listen, you know, there's various other podcasts that I put in there. And, you know, I just don't listen to music enough. So I have to start making time for music as well. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for making the drive over to Woodland.
It was worth it. It was worth it. Thank you for the hams.
You're quite welcome. From the land of sky blue waters.
Waters.
Hams the beer refreshing. Hams the beer refreshing. Hams. Say adios.
Adios.
That's the way I like it, baby. I don't wanna live forever. And don't forget the Joker.